We're finishing our series on the Christmas series, and over the past few weeks we've been following the response of different people to the Christmas promise, Advent time, the incarnation, the coming of the baby Jesus. And John Mark, you might remember, a few Sundays ago took us through the response of Mary. Then last Sunday, Jonathan looked at the response of the shepherds. And on Christmas morning, Glenn brought us the response of the Magi, the wise men. John Mark shared how God is the promise keeper, that Jesus is eternal and a powerful ruler. The Lord is worthy to be sought, celebrated, shared, and worshipped. Jesus is the promised forever king. Then Jonathan last Sunday in our family service spoke about how Jesus is different from earthly rulers. He is the promised, wise, powerful king, bringing peace. Jesus is the rescuing king, rescuing us from our need through his death on the cross. We needed a savior. God provided a savior in his one and only son. Jesus can and should be trusted, sought and worshipped. He is the promised rescuing king. And then on Christmas morning, Glenn spoke to us about the new king who was born. Jesus didn't have a limited earthly kingdom like Herod's, and Jesus was king of everyone. You know, the Magi were foreigners, they weren't Jews, but Jesus, they recognized Jesus as their king. And Jesus can and should be trusted, sought and worshipped. And this morning then, to round off our Christmas series at the end of the year, we head into the new year tomorrow. Let's consider, as we look at these two verses in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. So let's pray, and then we'll read those together. Heavenly Father, help us as we read from your word and as we consider you, Lord Jesus. Help us at the end of this old year, 2023, and as we head into a new year, Lord, that we would consider Jesus all through the days of next year as well, Lord, because you are such a mighty God, wonderful counselor, Prince of Peace, everlasting Father. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah chapter 9 and verses 6 and 7. Turn it down just a tiny bit because there's a bit of a ring on the PA. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. As we look at these two verses, there's so much in them. You could take a sermon for each of those headings of the Lord Jesus, Wonderful Counselor, and those. But this morning I just want us to consider three things. Three things. One, the Son given to us. Two, what is he like? And three, his unending reign of justice and righteousness. Firstly, let's look at the Son given to us in verse 6a. These verses from Isaiah, they're so familiar to us, especially this time of year, aren't they? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. This prophecy from the prophet Isaiah, written down some 700 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus, telling us of his coming, of his birth, that we've been celebrating over the past few weeks. Christmas is all because of Christ and his coming. These few words in the first part of verse 6 tell us so much about the Savior who came to be born all those years ago. The first half of this verse tells us so much about the Lord Jesus, the Son given to us. The first part says, for to us a child is born. And this points us to Jesus' humanity. That is the Bethlehem story. That is Christmas, Advent, the coming of Christ, the nativity scene. God coming into this world as a baby. Let's not forget that as well as being fully God, Jesus is fully man. This is the incarnation, God becoming human, God becoming man. Unto us a child is born. One of the early heresies in the first century of Christianity was not an attack on the deity of Christ, but on the humanity of Christ, the denial that Jesus had a real human body. In John's Gospel in chapter 1 and verse 1, we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then down in verse 14, we read, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." The Son of God became flesh. The eternal Son of God, who created the world and everything in it, became a baby. How did he enter the world? Like every other human being, he was born. For to us a child is born. Jesus had many human characteristics, like we do as human beings. On occasions we read of him becoming tired and needing sleep, like in the boat with the disciples in the storm. Another time he was tired from his journey and sat down by a well and talked with the Samaritan woman while the disciples went off to buy food. Another time we read of Jesus being hungry. At the tomb of Lazarus, Jesus wept. And then, of course, we read, Jesus died. He suffered a very painful death. For to us a child is born. That's his humanity. And then the next part of verse 6 of our text says, to us a son is given. And this speaks of Jesus' deity. Jesus is divine. He is God. Notice the wording here. As a human, he is born, but as deity, he is given. That means he existed already as God. If something is given, it already exists. He was given to the world as a saviour. To us, a son is given. That famous John 3 verse 16 verse says, "For God so loved the world that he," the next word is, "gave," that's right, "that he gave his one and only son." A son is given. Jesus existed eternally before he was born. He always was, he always is, and he always will be. Paul says in 1 Timothy 3:16, "Great is the mystery of godliness. He appeared in the flesh." Jesus, the Son of God, never became God. He was always God. He didn't have a beginning as a Son of God. He was God before Bethlehem and before the foundation of the world. The Christmas carol, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing," puts it like this: "Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to dwell, man to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark the Herald Angels Sing, glory to the newborn King. Jesus, who is God, came to live amongst us by being born." Isaiah 7:14, we read, "Written those years before the birth of Jesus, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel." And then over in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 22, we read that all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," and in brackets, which means God with us. Deity coming as humanity. As the song we sing often puts it, meekness and majesty, manhood and deity, in perfect harmony, the man who is God. Jesus, fully man and yet still fully God. This is the Son given to us. But there is a third thing spoken of in this first half of verse 6. Because we look at Christ's humanity, we look at his deity, and thirdly we see his sovereignty. Look again at verse 6. "And the government will be on his shoulders." And here we have Isaiah looking beyond Bethlehem, beyond the nativity scene, beyond the cross, to the future kingdom. The government will be on his shoulders. One day the God who created the earth and came to live on the earth will come back to rule the earth. Humanity, deity, and sovereignty. We hear of the first advent when Jesus came to this earth as a little baby, a suffering servant to save those who are hopelessly lost. But we also have the second advent when Jesus will come to rule the earth as the sovereign King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, in his first coming, there was no room in the inn But in the second coming, the whole world will not be able to contain his glory. At his first coming, a few witnessed his arrival. But when he comes again at his second coming, the Bible tells us every eye will see him. He won't come this time as a little baby, but as a glorious ruler of the universe. And we are living between these two advents, the two comings of the Lord Jesus. His first coming as a little baby to Bethlehem and his second coming as ruler and sovereign, to whom every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. So that's the Son given to us. Secondly, what is he like? And in Isaiah, in the second part, verse 6, we see these names that Jesus will be called that describe him to us. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And these are descriptions of the kind of character the Son of God is, this special child that was to be born, this Son who was given, the same Son that will come a second time to reign and to rule. The Lord Jesus is Wonderful Counselor, an amazing, awesome counselor. We can trust him to listen to us and to lead us in the right direction. That word wonderful, as used here, means incomprehensible. The Messiah will be full of wonder. When Jesus came to this earth as a human being, he demonstrated his wonderful nature in various ways. His power to heal, his amazing teaching. Even at 12 years old, amongst the teachers of the day in the temple in Luke chapter 2, they were amazed at his understanding and his answers. In Mark 1:22, we read that the people were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. His perfect life and his resurrection from the dead. All amazing. What a wonderful counselor. In John 7:46, we hear from the temple guards. They went to arrest Jesus, but they came back empty-handed, with the response to the chief priests and the Pharisees as to why they didn't bring him in. No one ever spoke the way this man does. What an amazing thing to say. Colossians 2 verse 3 tells us of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Jesus Christ is our wonderful counselor. And that's only brushing the surface of that beautiful name. The next description, Isaiah says in verse 6, he says that this child that's to be born will be Mighty God. The child to be born, the Son who is given, is also Mighty God. He has the power of God because he is God. He is the Mighty God, all-powerful, all-knowing, eternal, all the attributes of God. He alone has the power to save. He alone is the Savior. The Messiah left heaven's splendor and came to this earth in the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Philippians 2:5-8 tells us all that. He humbled himself. This mighty God chose to humble himself. The word mighty is defined as strength, power, hero, warrior. And this defines Jesus and his divine character, and how he set aside for a time these things to become human and to be our Savior, dying in our place on the cross. And now today is exalted in heaven, and he will come again to reign over all the earth in glory and power because he is the Mighty God. Colossians 2:9 tells us, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. Christ is fully God, and he is Mighty God. The next descriptive name for the Messiah, the Lord, is Everlasting Father. Literally, this means Father of Eternity, Originator or Source. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as the Creator. A father protects, a father provides, a father cares for his family. And this will continue forever in our Everlasting Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, this child that was to be born, this Son who is given. Colossians 1 and verses 15 to 17 tell us, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn, think highest status, over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is now before all things, and in him all things hold together. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the creator of everything. He is the Father of time and eternity, the architect of the ages. In Isaiah, that emphasis is the Messiah is Father forever, everlasting Father, eternal, without end. In the next verse, in verse 7, Isaiah writes of his government and peace without end. And the final descriptive title in verse 6 here is, he said, you shall be called Prince of Peace. The Messiah, the Son of God, is the only one who can bring true peace, restoration, redemption, and reconciliation between us and God. In John 14:27, Jesus talks about a peace that only he can give. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Peace is a word of just 5 letters, and yet it's so powerful, isn't it? It can change the world. Jesus brings peace to everyone who believes in him. A peace that can't be found anywhere else. Real peace can only be found in Jesus. He gives us peace with God. Romans 5 verse 1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Only Jesus can bring you and I peace with God. Secondly, Jesus provides peace in circumstances. He gives us the peace of God. In John 16:33, Jesus says, these things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. The Lord Jesus has overcome the world, and he can give us peace. He gives us peace in the family of God, Romans 4:19. So then we pursue the things which make our peace, make for peace and the building of one, up of one another. Peace when we are spiritual family are united in Christ. Peace in the family of God. And fourthly, the peace of Christ that rules our hearts. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. The peace of God can rule in each of our hearts. And then fifthly, Jesus provides eternal peace. It lasts forever. Isaiah 9 verse 7, of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. Everlasting peace, eternal peace. Under the rule of King Jesus, the mighty Prince of Peace will take his rightful place on his rightful throne, and we will experience everlasting peace. I don't think this world has ever experienced peace. There's always been wars and rumors of wars, isn't there? But when Jesus comes, there will be peace. So this child is born, this son is given. This one who will have the government on his shoulders will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And then just lastly, we look at the verse 7. We've touched on this already when we noted that of his, the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over the kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from this time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is what the angel Gabriel told Mary in Luke chapter 1, 32 and 33, when foretelling the birth of Jesus. The angel told Mary that Jesus will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will rule over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. And this will be an eternal kingdom, not for a 4-year term or a 7-year term, no, an everlasting kingdom, one for which there'll be no end. It will be forever. It will have all the attributes, the qualities that would make up a perfect lasting kingdom. Perfect peace, justice and righteousness. And how long is it going to last? Forever. Who will be in charge? Our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatness of his government. He will reign over his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it. How? With justice and righteousness for how long? From that time on and forever. Who will accomplish this? The zeal of the Lord Almighty, it says just at the end of verse 7. We can be sure it's going to happen because the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. What higher power could we ask for? The greatest power in the universe. After all, he made it. A never-ending, constant and eternal kingdom. The Lord Jesus will rule with power and integrity without limit. He alone has the resources to accomplish all this. When we say the Lord's Prayer, we pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That's our prayer for this new kingdom when the Lord Jesus returns and in the second advent to establish his kingdom. Are you ready for the Lord's return? Are you trusting Jesus as your Saviour? If not, I urge you to trust him today. He is the only one who can save anyone. The one who created the world, then lived in the world that he created, then died for the world that he created, is the only one fit to rule the world that he created. I pray that each one of us here today are ready to receive the newborn king, the king who's going to come and rule the world, and his subjects will be people who love and know him, have put their faith and trust in him. That'll be part of his kingdom and rule with him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your one and only Son given to us. Thank you for sending your one and only Son to take our place as our Saviour. Thank you for our wonderful Counselor, our mighty God, our everlasting Father, and our Prince of Peace. Lord God, we look forward to your everlasting reign, your government that will be unending, that perfect kingdom of peace, justice, and righteousness. And this will come about all because of the zeal of the Lord Almighty. He will accomplish this. Help us each one here this morning to be ready, having trusted in Christ alone for salvation, that we may be part of this eternal kingdom with the Lord Jesus as our ruler and king. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to sing a song as we close, which echoes those words of that verse in Isaiah. It says, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders." And as we head into 2024, let's keep these things in mind and pray that each one of us will be ready to meet this King who's coming for his eternal reign. Let's sing this through twice together.